As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. This is an encore episode, which is really exciting. So back for the second time. You loved him the first time. If you haven't listened to the episode, we'll put a link in the chat. But Stephen, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. A delight to be back with you.
And you go by Shed to your friends.
Yes, okay. Which please feel free to call me Shed.
Okay, and how did Shed come about? Is it just because of the last name, or is it?
Yeah, okay. Last name. Yeah. I went away to an overnight summer camp where my siblings went as well, and they were called derivations of Shed, Sheddy, Sheds, and so it lived on. And when I started my professional career, I was either a Steve or a Steven. Mm-hmm. I don't identify as Steve. Yeah. Like it comes out of my mouth, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
I love Shed, and it's because of the last name.
That is amazing. My father is a Steve, but he goes by with his family because he's from Hungary, István. But then there's variations of it, so Ichibachi, all sorts of variations of István.
Nice. I'm married into a Hungarian family, so there are some Istvans on that side as well. And my father-in-law is a Gabor.
Okay. Yes. I know
very
a few Gabors. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
great. And her maiden name is Herzig. That's like Smith in Hungary. Yeah. So the number of Herzig, Herzogs. Mm-hmm.
Have you had the Palatinate yet?
I have.
Yes.
Which one is that?
It's a crepe.
The crepe. Yeah. And I've had the Knockerdly.
Okay. Okay.
Which are like the little dumpling.
Come on. Yeah.
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 And then here's
any cuisine where butter is the main ingredient, I'm good with it for a time.
Here's random for you. So it can only be purchased at London Drugs. It's called Zwack, or it's like a Hungarian, call it like Jägermeister. And so it's a medicinal liquor. It's 40%. But it's at London Drugs behind the counter. So if you go in with ID, you can get Hungarian Zwack, or Unicum is the other term for it. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So every New Year's Day, I pull out my Unicum and have a shot with some friends.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cool. Nice.
But there's a lot of folks who listen to the show who are leaders, and a lot of folks who run organizations. They run agencies. They run brands. They're CMOs. They're business owners. They're marketing leads. They're VPs. Tell us about your latest book, because I think this is so crucial and this conversation needs to be heard, really.
Thank you. Thank you, Darian. So first and foremost, I mean, leadership isn't a title. Leadership is in our behavior. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes on leadership comes from my friend Rich DeVinny, mm-hmm. who's a retired U.S. Navy SEAL that I feature quite a bit in the book. And he says, leaders aren't born. Mm-hmm. Leaders aren't made. Leaders are chosen based upon the way that they behave. Mm-hmm. And sure, some of us are born with some of the more innate attributes, empathy, compassion, selflessness, decisiveness, authenticity that are that are more likely to be linked with leadership. But even if you have the attributes, if you don't exercise them and use them and behave into them, you might have a title, but you don't have the people. Mm. And the one requisite of leadership is followership. Mm. People who go where you're going, where you're pointing, and they go not for you, they go for them, because they feel as though that you have their best interests at heart and in mind. And so this book that I've written, and it comes out October 3rd, is Speak Up Culture. When leaders truly listen, people step up. And it examines how the mindsets, the behaviors, the actions, and the cultures, environments, and systems that leaders proliferate either make it safe and worth it for people to speak up, to share their ideas, their feedback, concerns, disagreements, even admit mistake, believing it will lead to improvement, not punishment, or the mindsets, actions, behavior, culture, systems, environments that leaders proliferate that cause people to sweep bad news under the rug, zip it, remain quiet. And that is very dangerous, as we've seen multiple times with recent news headlines, with the Titan submersible, with the 737 MAX. These are avoidable disasters had leaders cultivated the environment where they encourage people to speak up and reward them when they do, especially if people share bad news or news that isn't the news we want to hear. Like, this is an unsafe vessel.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, shouldn't fire that person.
Yeah.
You should listen to them.
So give me I'm gonna break it down, like explain it to me like I'm five.
Okay.
Give me an example of like, here's what not to do practically. Here's what you mm-hmm. could do. Maybe give me two examples of like, hey, where you're seeing it, maybe call it a bog is nurtured, like things fester and you leave that McDonald's cheeseburger in your van for way too long because no one talks about it or brings it out from under the seat, or a culture where it's like, man, this is what an openness culture looks like.
Yeah, just that smell emanating from that burger is very palpable. Yeah. So thank you for that vision. I'll give you one example that shows both.
Okay,
and then let's see. Yeah. So Alan Mulally, who came from Boeing Commercial, was very much credited for the resurgence of Boeing with counterpart Airbus, the competitor. You know, there was a neck and neck race. Mulally leaves Boeing and joins Ford Motor Company. I believe it was 2004. At the time, Ford Motor Company was bleeding money. They were not performing well, and they were edging toward bankruptcy. And so Mulally comes in and takes over, and the culture he inherits is one that is not a speak-up culture. Hmm. And the reason it isn't a speak-up culture is the previous leadership behaved far more tyrannically and behaved far more as if the executive leadership team were sitting at a table with Dr. Evil, that if you said the wrong thing, you were all of a sudden Will Ferrell playing the character of Mustafa, that if you say the wrong thing or bring up wrong news, red button is pushed, you're thrown into the depths of Mordor or hell, and you just don't show up the next meeting.
Wow.
And so, you know, I liken culture to pickle brine.
Yeah.
You know, you and I could take the most world-class, best cucumber in the world, put it in not-so-great pickle brine, and what do we have? A not-great pickle.
Yeah.
But it's no fault of the cucumber.
No.
And human beings are the very same. Huh. That if you put a good, ethical, talented, high-performing, high-trust individual and put them in a toxic, unhealthy environment, they are capable of doing awful things. And it isn't necessarily the complete fault of the individual. Mm. It has a reflection of the environment that they're in. Mm. And so that was the environment that Mulally was walking into, where bad news wasn't shared, because if you shared bad news, all of a sudden you were the problem.
Yeah.
And so Mulally starts, you know, just as if you or I were to take over any organization or step into a new leadership role, what do we do?
Yeah.
Well, we have consistent weekly meetings with our direct reports. What's going on? What do you need? You know, typical status, green, yellow, red reports on where you are. And for the first number of weeks, Mulally was having these meetings as the company he inherited is literally failing. And everyone's just saying green, 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 green. Everything's great. You know, green, green, green. And he's like, this is not right. Mm. He said, either you're all lying to me or your people are lying to you. Mm. We need to embrace more truth-telling in this organization.
Yeah.
I need to hear your yellows and I need to hear your reds. Otherwise, we can't help you.
Yeah.
And one guy in that meeting, his name is Mark Fields, who ends up becoming the next CEO. He succeeds Mulally, raises his hand and says, I got one thing that I know is a red. And Mulally apparently literally stands up, applauds him, says, thank you, Mark.
Wow.
Who can help Mark? And someone else raises their hand, I can help Mark.
Wow.
And a new precedent was set. Even further, the next weekly meeting, Mullally promoted Mark at that table and had him sit next to him in the meeting as if to say more of this behavior. And that shifted that culture from a culture that is more likened to a zip-it culture to a healthy speak-up culture. And Ford Motor Company ended up being the only major automotive American that didn't need a government bailout in 2008.
Wow.
So that's how a culture, you know, I'm often asked, Darian, give us an example of a great speak-up culture as an organization. Yeah. And I'm like, cultures change.
Yeah.
You know, Ford Motor Company under the predecessor and now Mullally, different companies. Yeah, so I more readily evaluate leaders like Bill Gates at Microsoft than Steve Ballmer, highly competitive, I would even say finite-minded. Yep. And now under Nadella, totally different, reinvigorating Microsoft's soul, you know, having a learn-it-all rather than a know-it-all culture, model coaching and caring, you know, model coach care are their sort of three pillars of the way that they expect all Microsoft folks to behave. So companies can transform based on the leaders who are at the helm.
So if we look at a company of, say, like 30 to 50, right? Like kind of like your agency, kind of brand, marketing brand team side, right? If you're the leader of it, is it even like, you know, you hear those things about anonymous surveys, or you create like an AMA, Ask Me Anything, or do you just sit one-on-one with each of the employees once a month or once a quarter? Like, what are some of the things maybe that you've heard or seen that maybe a leader could do practically?
So nice practical tactics that leaders could do to create more of a speak-up culture. So a couple things. So one is you know, a little bit further definition on what is a speak-up culture, and then how to proliferate it with actions. So when I first started writing this book, I thought I was simply rebranding psychological safety.
Yes. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So that's what I thought. Psychological safety, great body of work. Huge respect and kudos for Amy Edmondson, who's a professor at Harvard, who really put the concept on the map. The Google study that then came out, I think early 2000s, Project Aristotle, very much made psychological safety part of our vernacular. Awesome. I had a couple points of contention with psychological safety.
Okay.
One, it takes a very human feeling and kind of puts a white lab coat on it.
Huh.
You know, I think that, you know, when we hear psychological safety, it can create, it doesn't do justice of the experience of it.
Yeah.
Was one of the beefs that I had. And the other beef is, up until recently, most of the work on it is highly academic and not as accessible.
Mm.
And so, you know, I leaned into good old Zig Ziglar, people don't buy drills, they buy holes.
Yeah.
I said, if psychological safety is the drill, a speak-up culture is a hole. That's what you get when you have it.
Mm.
Now, as we dove into the phenomena, we realized that there's actually a good four quadrant matrix, that the two pillars of a speak up culture are, yes, is it safe? Is it psychologically safe here to speak up? And the way that Edmondson defines psychological safety is an environment in which it is safe to take interpersonal risk.
Mm.
Cool. The other component of it is perceived impact. Is it worth it?
Mm.
So we consciously or subconsciously ask ourselves two questions. Is it safe? And is it worth it?
Hmm.
Now, hopefully our response to both of those, and it's a perception, you and I could report into the same leader, and I'm like, they're the best leader I've ever had. And you're like, do we report to the same person? Mm-hmm. They're awful.
Yeah.
And we're both right, right? So it's doubly a perception.
Yeah.
But if we perceive that it is both safe and worth it to speak up, it doesn't go without fear, but there's less fear, and it feels like it is both safe and worth it to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it means that we actually think that there might be some change, a positive outcome, because of our choice to take personal risk to our job, relationships, reputation, stick our neck out and speak up, say the thing.
Yeah.
Now, there's some really interesting dynamics. The bottom left, where it is neither safe nor worth it, that is an unhappy marriage between fear and apathy.
Yes.
I've been there. Yeah. I've seen others there. No fun. And you do not get a speak up culture there.
Yeah.
That's where you get quiet quitting and resignation and sweeping truth under the rug for fear of being punished for unearthing that truth.
Yeah. Or it flares up on Glassdoor.
or it flares up on Glassdoor. Yeah. Yes, very well said. Yeah, I want to share it somewhere, but it's got to be anonymous. And can they tell what my IP address is?
Yeah.
Now, the other two quadrants are really interesting. So high safety, but low impact, right? I might feel safe, but I don't really think it's going to lead to any meaningful change. Huh. This is, you know, either due to a systemic issue or a cultural issue, or even a change in habit that is too hard.
Yeah.
So I could say to a friend, you should stop having three alcoholic beverages every night.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very healthy for you. And they might be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It might feel safe for me to confront that friend, but I don't really have belief that it's going to have any meaningful change.
Yeah.
And the question is, how many times do I go back to that dry or wet well, but that dry well? If it's like I've made three interventions, there's no meaningful outcome, I need to let them come to their own conclusion, right? So there are instances in cultures where people are like, yeah, I feel safe to speak up, but it's not going to make any change, either due to bureaucracy, systemic issues, or change in habits that are just simply too hard to overcome. The really interesting one, and this is what I think differentiates us from a speak up culture and psychological safety, is what if it's low safety but high impact?
Huh.
What if you're Ed Pearson, who's the senior manager at Boeing, who looks at everything and he's like, oh snap, this is not going to be a safe plane.
No.
He says, I don't want to put my own family on this plane. I don't feel safe to speak up, but you sure as hell bet I am, because I do not want hundreds of people to die, right? That's where Ed Pearson was sourcing himself from, which means that you don't necessarily need to have psychological safety in order to either speak up or eventually whistleblow. Mm. If you speak up inside of a culture and you become the problem, if ethics or life or death or whatever it might be are on the line, you may eventually whistleblow. Yeah. And that's what we saw with Ed Pearson at Boeing with the 737 MAX 8. So that's more of the phenomenon, just to share it out loud. Yeah. And then to your specific question, all right, you're a leader, 30 to 50 people at an agency or whatever it might be, what are some practical things? So the two actions that I've learned that leaders do to create, maintain, build a speak up culture, it's a virtuous cycle of encourage and reward.
Hmm.
So encourage means, Darian, I cannot see what you can see.
Yeah.
I value your voice. Yeah. I really want to know what's on your heart, heart and mind. Please speak up.
Yeah.
Share your ideas, your concerns. You're right. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Encourage could also mean a leader being vulnerable and going first, setting the tone.
Okay, I was going to ask about that. Okay, so that if they can say, hey, I noticed this is wrong with the company, or this is a problem, and here's what we're going to do about it. Like,
Or here's how, you know, hey team, one thing that we all have in common is we're all human, which means that we're fallible.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a recent mistake that I made, because one of the ways that we can grow here is by admitting where we mess up. So here's where I messed up.
That's great,
right?
Man. That's, yeah.
Positively contagious.
Wow. Vulnerable, right? Like going first, taking the initiative. Okay.
Going first. Yeah. And vulnerability, the business case for vulnerability, is wearing our strengths and our limitations on our sleeves such that we know when to step up and we know when to step back and to let others step forward. That's the business case of vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that's one piece, is encourage, encourage, encourage. Now, when encourage then leads for someone to be like, okay, I guess it's safe and worth it to speak up here.
Yeah.
It doesn't go without fear, but I'm going to do the thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge the boss and tell them that I don't think their idea is the greatest idea, or bring up some research or a dissenting point of view, or share a concern, whether personal or unpopular, you know, or share an idea, even if it's half-baked, you know, admit vulnerably a mistake that I made or a failure I made. Like, I'm going to do the thing, right? It should be rewarded here.
Yeah.
So I kind of liken that to an individual or a group of people opening the rings up to a boxing ring, stepping in, and the lights are on you. Whether it's in a one-on-one conversation or in a group or in front of a lot of people, and your heart's pounding because it's scary, but you do the thing.
Yeah.
What happens next is, are you rewarded? Are you ignored repeatedly, or are you punished?
Yeah.
Now, as the saying goes, bad news never gets better with time.
Hmm.
So if someone brings forth bad news, like our product is unsafe, or we're losing opportunity, we're leaving money on the table, or ways to serve our clients better.
Yeah.
if anyone is ignored or punished for it, guess what? It just doesn't show up again.
Yeah.
And people then go into fear and apathy.
Yeah.
But if you reward people, and versions of reward are thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been hard to share.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't yet fully agree or see what everything that you're saying, but I think there's merit to what you're saying. Can you share more?
Like, hey, we shouldn't use Kylie Jenner in a Pepsi commercial walking around in a protest. May not be a good idea. Could go bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's dig into that and make that conversation an okay conversation, which is a test of psychological safety. Can we disagree well?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Psychological safety in a speak up culture is not sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and unicorns all the time.
Yeah.
That's a faux-topia.
Yeah.
It's about our ability to have the hardest conversations and come out the other end of them better. And it's the difference between a toxic relationship and a healthy relationship. A toxic relationship, the more you invest in it as an individual, the worse it gets. And the only person who's at fault is you, right? Gaslighting.
Yeah.
A healthy relationship is the more you invest in it, the better it gets. And both parties or all parties take responsibility for the quality of that relationship. So it's those two, Darian. It's encourage and reward, and it'll look different,
of course,
in particular contexts. And definitely, I can share some good best practices. But encourage, and then reward. And reward doesn't mean a bonus, a pay raise, a promotion, or a statue made in one's honor in front of the corporate, offices. Yeah. It's more intrinsic.
Yeah.
It's that people, after they speak up, feel that they valued, that they matter, that it was worth the risk to speak up.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you think the initial conversation, like the initial confrontation or the displeasure or the problem, is it harder these days to do it remotely than it is in person?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So remotely, there are some tricks that we can do.
Okay.
One of the blessings of remote is that we can actually scale conversations quicker or better with use of tools.
Yeah.
Like chat or polls or whatever it might be. I've also seen teams, and you could do this in person as well, but you know, I'm a really big believer that relationship is the foundation of accomplishment.
Yeah.
So the more relationship we build with self, others, the context around us, the more we can see, the more we can experience, and typically the more creative, healthy, innovative we can be. So one of the tools to build healthy relationship is a check-in.
Yeah.
Like hopping in on a Monday morning, hey, like, what's occurring? What's going on for you? Not just the, how was your weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the, like, how are you entering this meeting?
Yeah.
Right? Right. Which need not be a 15-minute conversation.
Yeah.
It can just be feeling a little fuzzy and tired, but I got a coffee. I'm going to take a, you know, some deep breaths. I might ask to stand up about in 15 minutes just to stretch my legs, but I'm now here. Or I'm expecting a delivery in 15 minutes. I might be distracted.
I remember going into meetings, and it is so long ago. I don't remember who even was. It was a client or someone that would be like, "Hey, all right, quick roundabout. How are you doing out of 10?" And they start every meeting like that. And I was like, "This is amazing." I've not done it since, but I just remember liking it because they're like, "How are you out of 10?" And if someone was like a 7 or below, they'd be like, "Hey, do you want to talk about it? Do you want to share why you're a 7 or below?" And they'd be like, "No, not right now. But I just thanks for the chance to tell you that I'm just like I'm a 5 today." And I was like, this is amazing. Because then you're going in, not everyone's on the same level of like, okay, we're on different levels. So we're going to have different levels of participation in this meeting as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so there's a few things you can do. So one, you know, 0 to 10, 0 to 5, whatever. I've seen teams use flashcards.
Okay.
So red, yellow, green, you know, pink, whatever, like code, create a language.
Wow.
So, hey, check in, how are we doing? You know, and you could put up blue or whatever, meaning tired, or red being totally overwhelmed, or green, I have capacity.
Yeah.
You can also say, all right, everyone heads down.
Yeah.
On a scale of 0 to 5, 5 meaning confident, 0 meaning I do not feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Please put your head down and anonymously just vote. How confident do you feel in the decision we're making on this right now?
Wow, okay.
And it's the same thing as like a jury in deliberation doing an anon, you know, if you've watched the show Jury Duty, highly recommend. So these are some micro pulse ways, you know, because there's nothing worse than the most senior leader hopping into a room and saying, okay, team, everyone into the battle room. Yeah. We got this issue with this client and he's everyone's ideas. Here's what I think. Yeah. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Stop it. I need everyone's ideas, then zip it.
Yeah.
And so one of the leaders I highlight in the book is Nelson Mandela. Because like, give me the argument that says Nelson Mandela was a really ineffective leader. Pretty sure he was a pretty effective leader. Perfect human being? Yeah. Absolutely not. Yeah. But did he bridge divided people? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he was asked, like, where did you learn to become such a great leader? Yeah. And he said, I learned from my father. Yeah. His father was a community leader, and he would often go with his father to other communities as his father would either facilitate or participate in a community gathering.
Yeah.
And he noticed two things. One, as often as he could, his father would insist that everyone sit in a circle.
Yeah.
What I love about a circle is there's no apex, right? There's no head. Everyone can make eye contact. And even though there are still hierarchical dynamics, it denotes equality, right? You can also strip away title and use first names. Yep. I've seen surgeons do this in an operating room. Yep. Don't call me doctor, call me Nancy, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that Mandela observed is that his dad, as much as he could, spoke last.
Huh.
And the benefit of the most senior person speaking last is A, you literally gain from the genius of everyone in the room, and you give everyone a chance to voice their opinions, their thoughts, their feelings without you putting them into groupthink because you're the most senior person.
Yeah.
So if you say, I see it this way, it's a lot harder for someone with less influence to say, boss, I think you're wrong.
Mm.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
So I think design equitable spaces, circles or whatever, and speak last.
Huh. This is amazing. And I think we've jumped in the best practices. You've already listed some. Is there any others that you'd want to share from your research?
I'm trying to think if there's any others I've not. I mean, yes, I'm trying to think of others. I mean, in the context of virtual meetings, because so much happens either virtual or hybrid now, there's tons of stuff that you can do. There's that check-in. There's breakout rooms. Mm. There's polls. There's Mentimeters. Yeah. You know, there's using chat.
Yeah.
You know, for me, if you do a breakout, the purpose of a breakout is to have some sort of debrief, right? If you do a breakout and you don't debrief, it's like if a tree falls in the woods but no one's there to hear it, did it really fall?
Yeah.
If you break out and do nothing to capture, it's like, what was the value of the breakout?
So riddle me this. So I feel like twice now I've been asked by two different universities to like give some feedback on a program. And they're like, and we'll summarize all the notes because we're asking a bunch of people and we'll send it back to you. I'm like, amazing, because that'd be nice. I'd love to hear my thoughts articulated or written down. One of the two meetings.
There's totally AI for that, by the
way.
No,
I know, right?
Carry on.
Yeah. So one of the two meetings, the guy took notes writing on his hand with a pen. And the other one, you know, they actually took real notes. And I haven't heard, it's been months, I haven't heard back from either. And I followed up to both groups like, hey, just curious. You still got to say nothing. Silence, crickets. And I'm like, and the part of me is kind of like, I don't know if I want to do that again. I think I'm understanding the feeling, because I'm been in the position now where I'm like, that just felt really sad and kind of like.
So what, you went and facilitated? So like, I was a
participant. And so I was like, okay. Even as a participant, I was like, hey, I'm going to get vulnerable, give some feedback, share some ideas, give some thoughts. Like I, you know, invested time even, right? Let alone, it wasn't super personal. But even just giving time and logical feedback to not get anything in return, even just a summary, like I would have been happy just a summary.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, again, that's the perception of impact lowered.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, A, you were promised something. So there's lack of authenticity and consistency there. Yeah. But it's like, if you were asked, especially by the same parties, to do it again, it's like, I'm still waiting for the output on the first one. Yeah. So like, deliver that to me, and then I'll consider it based on the quality of that output.
But then, okay, what I want to come back to you with, to challenge you with is, so I had that experience twice, two different organizations, separate. If I get asked by a third who's maybe really good, you know, and would actually have rewards, would give feedback and would apply it, but a part of me in my brain is like, no, I've got hurt twice. Yeah. Why should you be different? How do you speak to those folks? Those that have bad experience in jobs. Like, let's just use employment.
Yeah. So, and this is another piece when, you know, we all have an emotional backpack or a psychological safety backpack that if we go and join a client or a team or we enter into a new relationship, whether it's employment or personal or intimate, to pretend that we're not bringing our past triumphs and traumas into those scenarios is foolish. Yes. Of course we do. Yeah. So I think in that scenario, so a third separate organization that has a great reputation asks you.
And they're going to have great rewards. I know that, like, let's just say that they will, but I'm going to say no. Because I'm like, nah, man, I've done
like,
it.
You're like, well, hold on. Yeah. So, you know, fool you once, fool you twice. So I would say, hey, I'm so flattered by this ask. Yeah. It's really compelling. I must be honest with you that I've just did this same process two times with other organizations, and I was really let down because I never saw the output, and I didn't know if the conversation and the time and effort spent actually yielded any positive outcome.
Yeah.
Would you do me a favor and send me an example of an output that you've done with the previous interaction or intervention with this, just so that I feel that my time will be well spent? And if they're like, oh my God, absolutely. Here's the output from our last one. And it arrived 3 weeks after the meeting. And you're like, great, I'm in.
So on the flip side, if we are running a team, like say a team at, like we're internal marketing at Lululemon or Herschel, I'm just using stuff in my back, Aritzia. And someone joins the team, we can almost initiate and be like, hey, by the way, we really believe in feedback here. Here's a case study, an example of someone who gave us feedback. And it could just be a stock thing in the handbook that says, here's feedback we got given. Here's how we applied it. And we just want to encourage you to keep giving feedback because we do listen and we do apply it. That'd be a neat thing to like a story to tell someone to encourage that.
Yes. And if the only time that ever occurs is in that one case study, great. You actually have to do it, proliferate.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah. You hope so.
Yes. But like, hey, like, welcome. Here's example of feedback gone well, whether interpersonal or about product or, you know, client product or whatever. And here's an example of when it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So, and what I mean by that is, you know, a speak up culture isn't about storming into the boss's office and saying, you suck and here's why, right? Like, it could be, hey, in the appropriate time, manner, you know, it's not just about what you're delivering, it's how you're delivering it and even why you're delivering it. Is there a positive intent to serve and make things better?
Yeah.
So it isn't license to run your mouth.
Yeah.
You still need to show up with decency and respect and tact and, you know, good timing. And I talk a little about the platinum rule, right? Yeah. Treating people how they wish to be treated, not golden rule, which is how you wish to be treated, which lacks empathy.
Yes, totally. I've never heard that. Say that again, platinum rule. That's brilliant.
And there's a book on this as well. Okay. So golden rule is treat others the way you wish to be treated, which is great for my 6 or my 7 and 4 year old, right? That's basic kindergarten, right? But as we develop and we learn empathy, the platinum rule is treat others the way they wish to be treated. So if I know that you like to receive feedback in a certain way, I should flex.
Yeah.
It would make the intervention more successful.
Yeah.
You know, a good example of this, this is also in rewards and recognition, as well as positive and constructive yeah. feedback. So a coaching client of mine, new in role, C-suite level, their chief of staff in the first 3 to 4 weeks of his tenure rocked it.
Yeah.
I mean, like worked extra yeah, yeah. hard, helped him onboard, like just amazing. And he says, I want to get her a thank you. Yeah. I'm going to buy her some flowers.
Yeah.
And I said, do they like flowers? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, do you know someone who would know? And he goes, yeah, I guess. I'm like, would you ask them?
Yeah.
Right? Because maybe their father who passed away 3 weeks yeah. ago ran a flower shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would just set them off,
yep.
either positively or negatively,
yeah.
you know? Or maybe they'd appreciate chocolate.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Maybe they just want a handwritten note. Maybe
yeah.
they want a shout out in front of the team.
Yeah.
Like, someone knows.
Yeah.
And this is also the value of having a company intranet of like, ooh, I really want to acknowledge Darian.
Yes.
What are his appreciation languages
yeah.
at work? Can I look at his profile to be like, I bet, or I'm going to get him that Heschel backpack that he's
yeah.
been talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Like these are some meaningful yeah. rewards. So
they're love languages, as Gary Chapman would say. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and they made an appreciation languages to, yeah. you know, because love
yeah.
may not be PC at work.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
It's just a human emotion.
Yeah.
So yeah, so these are some ways that you can also tailor, because, you know, leadership is not a game of, while leadership is a game of diversity,
yeah.
equity, and inclusion,
yeah, yeah.
it is not a game of uniformity,
no,
right? We don't treat people, it behooves us to understand what makes others tick and how can I treat them in that way.
Wow.
Shed, which takes work. Which takes work.
You're dropping bombs here, man. Like some truth bombs. This is good. So, okay, can people pre-order your book now on Amazon?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you go onto Amazon, yes, yeah, Speak Up Culture, it's there.
Okay.
And you can learn more about the book, speakupculture.com.
Audio version, is it available yet?
Not yet, but it will be October 3rd as well. Will Arnett offered to do
yes.
it, but I'm like, man, yeah. I think I should.
No, totally.
So I said, it's really kind, but, you know, do your Smartless podcast
yes.
thing
yeah.
and your Lego shows and all that. you know, just work on the voice of Batman.
Yes.
I got
yeah.
this. So yes, I did the audio for it.
And those also that are in Canada, Shed, you're an Ivy alumni as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. I went to, it was called the Richard Ivey School of Business when I was there, but I think it's called the Ivey Business School.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did Ivy.
That's amazing. And where can people find you online? Where do you hang out? Where's your kind of...
I hang out mostly on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So I'm most active there. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Stephen Shedletsky on all of LinkedIn.
Yes.
So all you handfuls of Shedletskys out there, think twice before naming your child. But yeah, most active on LinkedIn, but I'm on all the things. And yes, speakupculture.com is the website.
It's amazing. So, in context as well, Shed, the fourth employee of Simon Sinek, who wrote Starting With Why, the first episode, we'll put a link to that in the bio as well for the show. But this is very exciting. I think this book is more crucial and needed than ever today in many reasons, on many levels. So already I feel like I've learned so much. I've got so much to take away just from this show. I can't imagine what the book will have.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Feel free to send me what works and what doesn't work via email.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So question for you, putting out a book yes. like this, do you
yeah.
feel, I don't know what the right word would be, like pressure or encouragement or motivation to put resources and a community or something around yeah. the book for people that are like, this book changed my life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So one of the things we're building right now is a book club product.
Okay.
So teams
yes.
or people from yeah. different organizations to come together and read the book
Perfect.
Together. It'd be really cool if people from different parts of the world and different organizations can do that at the same time.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And we're exploring ways that we can. Yeah. Because if we really, you know, I'm about change.
Yeah.
I want, you know, the vision of leadership that I see is one that is healthier, not toxic.
Yeah.
And so a great way. I mean, I've printed Seth Godin's Tribes.
Yeah.
There's one. So there's, here, let me just take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to travel with the.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's do this. Yeah,
We're going on the road.
Because you can.
Okay. So a leader can help increase the effectiveness of the tribe and its members by, this is Seth Godin, mm-hmm. Transforming the shared interest into a passionate goal and desire for change.
Yeah.
providing tools to allow members to tighten their communications and leveraging the tribe to allow it to grow and gain new members. Which is, there's an inherent giving power away and empowerment that you don't own it. It's about connecting people and letting them create and run with it. So absolutely, we are up for that.
Be an interesting challenge to give people in HR leadership to say, buy a copy for everyone on your staff. Like, get that conversation going by buying this book and creating the conversation through this book, like book clubs within the office.
Yeah. Or buy one copy and share it. Like, though I'm happy for you to buy as many copies as you wish. But yeah, what we're gonna, you know, my hope is that even people can use this book club product potentially without reading the book, but it's added if they do read the book as well.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Will you enhance your audio version of the book? Like with some news clips.
Define enhance.
So I listened to the first enhanced audio. I guess they called it enhanced audio. Malcolm did.
Talking to strangers.
Yeah. And I was blown away because I was like, this is such a different audio experience. And I think he was just, you know, inspired by his podcast experience to be like, let's shove in a bunch of supporting audio documents that will support my case.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've listened to the podcast Radio Lab or Adam Grant's Worklife podcast, that like when you can have a like go out in the street and do the thing.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. We didn't do that as much with this book, but we did include a bonus author interview at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool.
So that's a cool thing that one of the producers from the audiobook company interviewed me after the book. So that was fun.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, with talking to strangers, there's the soundtrack, The Hell You Talk.
Yeah, so good.
It's
amazing. Final question I have for you, your go-to drink for your throat when you were producing that audiobook, what did you use for your?
I didn't do this as much with the audiobook because we did it in 2-hour sprints.
Okay, nice.
But when I'm conserving my voice, I do tepid water with lemon and a little bit of honey.
Okay, there we go.
And apparently a sip of beer is actually quite good for your throat as well. But
perfect.
I was backstage with a very prolific keynote speaker and they were working on conserving their voice and they asked in the green room, may I have a can of beer, please?
Oh, that's amazing.
It's like 11:30 a.m. And the look that they got, it's like, oh, it's just for my voice. I'm not looking to get hand.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, you heard it first, Shed, here on Marketing News Canada. Really excited for your book. I'm going to put a pre-order in today. Excited. I'm going to talk to Sarah about getting copies for our staff because I think that'd be awesome for us all to go through that together and then create a conversation about having conversations, which I think is pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Amazing. Awesome. And happy to get your team early access to the book club product if you want to use it.
We'd love that.
Hop in and join you all for a little virtual chat.
Incredible. So Shed, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. A delight to be with you again to chat about Speak Up.
Thanks everyone for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada. We'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.